17 years have passed since federal officials agreed to restore salmon populations on the Trinity River to levels unseen since it was dammed in the 1960s. Results have been slow. Last week, we reported on the frustrations of some locals. Today, in part two, NSPR's Mark Albert looks into why scientists think success has not been obvious.
Cutting a rambling path from the Scott Mountains, the Trinity River eventually joins the storied Klamath before reaching the Pacific. For eons, the river's abundant salmon sustained a vibrant civilization. A gold rush, intensive logging, and integration with California's agricultural irrigation system changed everything. Brant Gudermuth, a Bureau of Reclamation environmental scientist, said hydraulic mining, dragline dredging, and boat dredging, three successive methods for gold mining, left the soil layers upside down.
When you pick it up with these bucket line dredgers, the big boats, all the dirt falls to the bottom.
Topsoil was buried beneath mine tailings. As the river cut through it, the seasonal floodplains adjacent to the river, critical to young fish, wound up high and dry, blocked by what looked like levees. Beginning in the 1960s, dams captured and diverted winter and spring floods. Initially, scientists thought a fix would be simple. Plow openings in these berms of mine tailings with heavy equipment, release a series of strong surges from Trinity Dam, and let the river do the heavy lifting. Turns out that method didn't work.
It's not just nicking the berm, it's lowering floodplains and then creating habitat that will function.
Now the heavy lifting is done by people. It's more intense, more time-consuming, and more expensive.
But we need to move those tailings and mining debris, so excavate, 10 to 20 feet down. And then you have to move that out of the floodplain. We have to move it out of the floodplain because then the river won't connect with the habitat that we're creating.
On adjacent hillsides, rusted mining debris, including hydraulic pipeline remnants, cables, tanks, and cans, aren't hard to find, despite decades of nature being left to reclaim the landscape. Down at the river's edge, where this summer's construction will occur, sunlight glistens off the water while grasses wave in the breeze. Shiny clumps of poison oak and blackberries thick as concertina wire soak up the sunlight.
One of the things that we're trying to do is create this diversity of habitats where there's a deep hole in proximity to riffle and to, so fish can be holding in the hole and feeding on the eddy line. So that's the kind of stuff in managed rivers that is not as common yet.
As the program drags on, an 8-year construction schedule was envisioned when a legal settlement was signed in 2000, with work beginning in 2005. Some area residents are grumbling. Along with the noise, dust, and elapsed time, salmon remain scarce. Critics note the salmon population has risen by just 1%. While that may be true in the strictest sense, the figure doesn't represent the full picture. A graph provided by Mike Dixon, Implementation Branch Chief for the Trinity River Restoration Program, shows estimates of out-migrating young salmon rising and falling like a roller coaster. Generally, the population soars in wet years and plummets during droughts. During the 1997-98 El Niño, estimates rose to nearly 1.5 million young hatched in the river from about 200,000 the year before. In 2005, the figure jumped to 2.5 million. The figures are based on young caught in traps near the confluence with the Klamath. 8 years after work began, the figure soared over 5 million. Then, the recent drought began, and numbers fell off a cliff. While the true measure of success involves the number of adults returning to spawn, the work does nothing for fish during the 3 years they typically spend in the ocean. Predators and fishing take a heavy toll. Environmental phenomena such as El Niño or last year's warm water blob can leave young salmon with little to eat. Even in a healthy fishery, only 1 in 1,000 eggs return as spawning adults. Hope remains. Gudermuth said last year's construction with its man-made beaver dam and purposeful log jams appeared to get it right.
We constructed this side channel. We opened the side channel, and within an hour, we had fish spawning in there. So it's immediate use. But yeah, the reality is that those fish got to go out to the ocean. They have to survive ocean conditions. So really, a better metric of our success is how many juveniles go to the ocean.
Like anywhere that change occurs, some people are concerned or frustrated. Others, like Dave Schumann, who owns property near a popular local fishing spot where the work is scheduled to occur this summer, are willing to wait and see.
When restoration first came in, they had some blunders. They did some things that didn't work out. People were upset, but I think they've learned from their mistakes, and what they're doing now hopefully will improve the fishing. I know I've talked to some of the guides, and they've had they said this last year for steelhead's been a really good year. So that must tell you something. So anyway, like I said, I have confidence in what they're doing until they prove me wrong.
Mark Albert, North State Public Radio News.